We learned something at camp this week, and I want to teach you two of the things that we learned at camp. Y'all remember one of the last things that Pastor Jeremy taught us? Okay, this one is what I love. Come on, show them. Remember? What we love the most, we worship. Did y'all hear that? What we love the most, we worship. But the other one that we're going to talk about today is the one that I really like. What I believe fuels my behavior. Show them. What I believe fuels my behavior. Thank y'all. That was a test, and they passed. What I believe fuels my behavior. And I thought I was going to be so smart because I got the text and the notes and all that. I thought, well, I'm just going to preach that sermon and I don't have to do any work. And God said, not so fast, hot rod. And so I'm stealing that part still. What I believe fuels my behavior. But God said, there's another approach that I want you to take. And so here we are. The thought, what he addressed with the kids is that what we really believe in our heart fuels our behavior. What we believe will come out in our actions. What we believe will come out in our actions. Like, I can believe it doesn't matter what I put into my head because I can control what comes out in my behavior. So if we walk around not concerned with what we're putting in our head, there's a misconception that we can control what's going to come out in our actions. Because maybe you heard the old saying, some of you are saying, it's not that old, I was around when it was born. Garbage in, garbage out. Yeah? How many of y'all have ever heard that before? Garbage in, garbage out. That's right, it's not that old. I believe, how many of you ever heard Bill Cosby? And he did a thing called Bill Cosby Himself, I think was a video deal. But in there is this scene, and he's talking about how the mother, he has all these kids, and the mother is like in bed, and she said, you're going to go fix breakfast. And he gets down there, and he's trying to figure out what to fix for breakfast, and he sees the chocolate cake, and the kids are wanting to eat chocolate cake. And he's like, no, you can't have chocolate cake. And then he got to thinking, but there's eggs in chocolate cake. There's milk in chocolate. Chocolate cake is good. And so the kids are all eating chocolate cake. Dad is great. You give us the chocolate cake. And they're eating. You know, and then Mama comes down, and she's like, turns into this monster. What are you doing feeding chocolate cake? I can believe, like Bill Cosby, that chocolate cake is healthy for us because it has those good ingredients. But let me tell you something. If that's all I eat, I'm going to get fat. So it doesn't matter what I believe if I'm not believing the right thing. Like this. I believe that I can go to heaven because I'm a good person. You can believe that all you want. But if you're not believing a correct truth, it's not going to accomplish what you desire, what you want. You got to believe what is true and what is right. To have correct behavior or correct results, we must have correct beliefs. You buy that? I hope you do. I hope you do. I guess to put it real simply, not only do our beliefs direct our behavior, but our behavior, you can work it backwards, our behavior really indicates what we believe. If we live our lives like we're not concerned about the consequences of sin, guess what? Maybe we really don't believe there are consequences for sin. Because if we did, if we really believed that, our lives would show it. If we have a casual relationship with God, It may be because we don't believe we really need God to save us. It may be really that we believe God is just a friend and a buddy. He's a good old guy. Santa Claus. He's something else other than a Savior for us. Maybe we don't believe that because we don't think we need a Savior. What I believe fuels my behavior, even if it's a wrong belief. Now, you might be sitting there, you're thinking, you're sure hitting this hard, Brother Mike. Well, maybe you're sitting there also thinking that you've already taken care of your eternity. And you may believe that because you walked an aisle and said a prayer that you're saved, even though there's no evidence of it. Let me shoot it straight to you. If that's you, you're not saved. You're lied to. Maybe somebody lied to you and said, if you'll say these magic words and come to the magic spot, boom, you're saved. Or maybe you're even lying to yourself, thinking, well, I went through some motions, and if I need to do something different, I'll take care of that when the day comes or later on down the road. No, that's not what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, and we who with unveiled faces, that means the veil's been taken off, you can see exactly what's on my face. I'm not hiding behind anything. We with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. You see, true believers are transformed into His likeness. That's what the Bible teaches us. True believers are transformed into His likeness, and His likeness is not sin. So as we look at ourselves, let's be honest with ourselves. What do we see? Do we see Christ's likeness or do we see sinfulness? If you're not transformed, there's only one explanation. Because the Bible says believers will be transformed. So if you're not transformed, there's only one explanation. And that is your beliefs fuel your behavior. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12 says this. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. What testimony is that? Let's back up a little bit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. There is victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And only those who their belief fuels their behavior. That other part in verse 10, 11 and 12 says, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That's pretty plain and simple. or so we think at first glance. But then when we start telling ourselves, well, I have Jesus, especially on Sundays. Just don't look at me when I leave. Just don't read my email. Just don't come into my house. Don't ride in my car with me. But on Sunday, I got Jesus. Remember, our beliefs fuel our behavior. What do you believe about Jesus? What people do with God's testimony to Jesus Christ determines their eternal destiny. Do you realize that? Do you know that? Are you convinced of that this morning? There are only two possible responses. Here they are. If you're taking notes, write it down. To believe God's testimony or to reject it. Simply that. You believe God's testimony about Jesus Christ when God says, "This is my Son." You believe in Him, you'll have eternal life. If you reject Him, you have eternal death. If you believe that testimony about Him, then respond that way. No response or any other type of response is to reject that testimony. No one can remain neutral. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me." Are you with God or are you against God this morning? And I'm not talking about what you did when you were 8 years old or when you were 12 years old or when you were 13 or you walked an aisle. Friends, it's not in the words. It's in the heart. And you confess with your mouth what's in the heart. Remember, our beliefs fuel our behavior. What do you believe? My prayer is that this morning when you leave this place, that you're not confused. I want when you leave this place for you to either say, "I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am God's child. He's called me. He knows me by name. And I'm in His will. And I'm living my life in accordance with His desires." Or you walk out of here saying, "I heard all that. I heard all that the preacher says. I saw where he read it from the Bible. I hear all that, but I'm just not there yet." But I hope that you're not confused. I hope there's no gray area where you think one thing but are doing something different. Either walk out of here saying, "I'm going to live for Christ," or walk out of here saying, "I'm not. Because I just don't believe it," or for whatever reason. Don't walk out of here confused, though. To walk out of here thinking, "I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus," and then going out and living like the devil. Because that's not what God says is real. God says that's a lie. Had a pastor friend to me said, "That lie has the smell of burning sulfur all over it, because it came straight from the pits of hell." My prayer is that today you would decide forever, what am I? Who am I? Whose am I? And be real with it. It's not a game. It's not a game. Especially when we consider what we're doing this morning, partaking of the Lord's Supper. Paul addressed the same kind of issue in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, when he wrote to him and said, "Y'all are kind of you're perverting the Lord's Supper." They were doing all kinds of stuff. They were having a big party and all coming together and getting fat and sassy on the wine and the bread. And then people that were coming afterwards didn't have anything because they gorged themselves. And they were just messing it all up. And so Paul, he gave them some instructions. He said in Corinthians verse 26 of chapter 11, he said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." What does it mean to drink and take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? I'll tell you what he's talking about. Matter of fact, he even tells us what he's talking about. In verse 28, he says, "But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." You know what Paul is saying there? Check to make sure that your actions are reflecting what you say you believe. Because what you believe fuels your behavior. Paul is saying, before you partake of this and identify yourself with Jesus Christ, make sure you're being transformed into his likeness. That's where we are this morning. That's what we're about to do. We're about to ask ourselves some hard questions. We're about to ask ourselves, where am I? We're to examine ourselves. Paul does not say, Paul does not write what the Holy Spirit told him in this. The Holy Spirit did not say, "Hey, if you think about it, you might want to just check yourself out." He doesn't say, "Hey, it might be a good idea if you square up with me." He doesn't say, "My recommendation to you, should you be willing." No, it's a command. It says, get yourself right with God. Before you partake of the Lord's Supper, be certain of a few necessary things. Be certain of what you believe, why you believe it, and are you showing what you believe? Maybe you're here this morning and you think, "Well, we're about to take the Lord's Supper, and I know churches do it differently. How am I supposed to take some, or am I supposed to not, or what am I supposed to do this morning?" I'm glad you asked. The answer is simple. Anyone who is saved and living for the Lord is invited to partake in the Lord's Supper. Not in ourselves are we made worthy, but through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit are we made worthy. And you may be sitting there thinking, "Well, Mike, you said there's only one way or the other. Either I'm sinful or I'm not." That's not what I said. Either you're living for the Lord or you're living for yourself. You know the difference, and so does God. And God just says, be honest. Be genuine. Be authentic. Show me what you believe. We're going to have a time of invitation this morning. And we're going to have it right now, as a matter of fact. But here's how I want to do this. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, "You know what? I believe that I had a genuine, authentic conversion experience at some point in my life. But I certainly haven't been living like it. Was it genuine and authentic then? Was there a transformation?" The Bible says there will be. The Bible says that we will be transformed. Continually be being transformed is the way the Greek phrases it. And it's not that we transform ourselves. It's that when we believe and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he transforms us. You see, it's not something we have to do. It's something that we allow God to do in us and through us. Sometimes he doesn't do it because of us. My encouragement to you this morning would be to clear that up. Clear up the muddy waters in your life. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ. It's plain and simple. Either you do or you don't. God, He tells us in His Word the consequences if we don't and the rewards if we do. It's very laid out. It's very simple. The hard part is for us to choose. The hard part is for us to surrender, to allow God to rule and reign in our lives. Oh, but I hope you do. And if you haven't been doing that and you're ready to today, make it so. This altar is going to be open. Remember, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to judge ourselves. Check ourselves. See if our behavior is matching up with what we say we believe, with what is the truth that is written in God's Word. And if it's not, make anew, afresh today, the commitment to live your life according to God's will in His Word. This altar is open. This is the time to make those decisions. Make them public. Remember, if you're not going to make them in here where it's safe for us to see, what makes us think you're going to make them out there when everybody else is looking? This is a safe place. Maybe you need to come and just do what we're talking about, examining ourselves before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Maybe you need to come and spend some time at the altar. That's just between you and God. It's always between you and God. This is your time. Mark is going to sing our invitation. This is not for you to sing. This is for you to get squared up with God, to get right with Him. Spend some time in meditation. Talk with Him. Ask Him. Ask Him to show you if there's anything that's not right. He'll show you. And then when He shows you, clear it up. This is your time. Spend it in meditation. I'll be here in the front if you want to talk to me or if you want to come to the altars. By all means, come do so. Mark, will you lead us?
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Spirit, come make us whole. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob.
Amen.